Okay, welcome back everyone. And we are now going into kinesiology and muscle testing, and should be a great section. Okay, let's see here. Much love, thank you, perfect. Okay, good, so just little notes. And testing the control panel. Okay, that's fine. Okay, great. So here we are. So the first thing that we want to give you is some skill with muscle testing, right? So we want to figure out how that all works. How many of you have the experience of muscle testing? And usually how we see muscle testing is we see it as an arm extended, somebody at the fair or something, and they're saying, hold your arm really straight, and then we're going to push down, and if it's weak, it doesn't work for you. So that's exactly what we're doing. We're doing it with the one finger, the ring finger on the right hand. And we're pushing down with the first finger of the left hand. And we're really making this stiff. We're really, really holding it really tight. It's one of the things that people make a mistake about. They let it be kind of loose or natural. No, you want to make it really stiff and tight. And you want to hold it as tight as you can and then push down with this index finger. So you want to push as hard as you can. And I'm Julie. I'm not Julie. I'm Julie Renee, and it holds because I used those two names. So I'm Julie Renee, and that holds. And I'm Bob, and it doesn't hold. Okay? So I'd like you to all just try this. Right hand, the finger is extended here. And then you're pushing down with your finger here. And try saying your name, your actual name, and then trying saying a name that is not your name. What I've discovered is that kinesiology is really rock solid for doing this work, but it takes a little while to master kinesiology. So what we're looking at doing is having you do practice 5 or 6 times a day for about 6 weeks. So understand that if you've never done kinesiology, it takes a little bit of time to master it and really own it. And some people get it pretty quick, and some people it really takes about 6 weeks to do. So you have to be dedicated with yourself. Maybe make a calendar. Just get a calendar, or maybe you can print one out of the computer, and just you're going to just print, you know, check that you've done it 5 times a day. The other thing is, understand that if you don't keep your word to yourself, like you want to learn something and you say, well, I don't know, I am practicing a few times a day, but you really don't like keep track, you probably aren't doing as much practice as you need to. So I always say just like write it down, do your 5 checks. So you do some tests, muscle testing. Maybe on food. Is this breakfast? What is the level of goodness this food is for me this morning? So I had some granola this morning. I didn't test. I often do test my food to see if it's good for me. And I had some granola and almond milk, and then I had some mango juice. And so was the granola 100%, 90%? So the granola was 90% good for me. And how I started was 100, but I got 90. And was the almond milk 190, 80, 70% good for me? And was the mango juice 190? The mango juice was 90% good for me. And then I had a cup of toasted rice green tea, and was that good for me? It was 100% good for me. So you can test your food. You can test your relationships. You can test virtually anything. Good, we've got everybody out. Okay, so you can test virtually anything. Is it good for me? And then what we do is we're going to go into much deeper levels of testing, but those would be kind of practice things that you could practice on. So right now in the chat box, I'd love to hear how many of you have mastered some level of muscle testing already. That's the next thing that we want to figure out is, do you have some skill with muscle testing? I know there's a time delay, so I'm just smiling and waiting. Aren't those roses amazing? So the question is, do you have some skill with muscle testing, or is this a new technique for you? Muscle testing was actually brought in by a chiropractor in, I believe, 1976. And we're so grateful to that chiropractor for bringing in kinesiology, muscle testing, really defining it. So I don't know if it was used before that, but it was probably always available because it's part of our blueprint, right? It's part of our innate ability, our ability to be part of the field and to connect with others in that way. Okay, here's some answers. Yes, using another type daily. Thank you. Good. Okay, Jyoti, so that's good. A little bit, Christelle, not entirely new to it. Wonderful. Heather, yes. Dana, yes. Not really, have not done much. Renee, okay, so this you want to practice. Alex, strong muscle testing skills, not with the finger, though. Okay. And Karen, have been doing muscle testing for about 35 years. Okay, fantastic. So you've been doing it almost since it was invented, it sounds like. Elizabeth, I've been doing muscle testing since November, but still feel it's not 100% accurate. Okay, and Sharon, yes. Okay, good. So from the responses I see that most of you have some level of skill, and if you haven't responded and you're one of the people or you're on the phone and you aren't able to respond, please do what I have suggested. Get a calendar. If it's new to you or you're not 100%, I want you to mark off 6 weeks. And for 6 weeks, five times a day, I want you to muscle test things that are good for you, not good for you, the percentage of good for you. And you're going to learn so much in this class. So you'll be testing for other things too. But really understand that if you're doing it five times a day for 6 weeks, you'll master it. And just don't cheat yourself. Don't skip 3 days and do 10 times in one day. That's kind of cheating yourself, and you're not going to really get it. You want to be consistent. You want to follow through and be consistent. So just on a calendar, you know, start date, end date, I'm practicing five times a day every day. Okay, I'm holding my hands in front of my solar plexus. Leans in for yes, out for no, but it's only yes or no. And that is Charlotte, and Sharon is yes. Okay, so Charlotte, I would recommend that you learn how to do this because as we progress during the week, muscle testing is key to really being able to master percentages and all kinds of things. So that yes and no, that is muscle testing, you're right. But it'll be really difficult to do big numbers like billions or thousands or hundreds or whatever doing this. It's just going to be too much effort. And the finger is so quick and easy. Some of you are doing this, and some of you are doing other kinds of pressure. If you can get through, numbers quickly, if you can get through percentages quickly, then use the technique that you're already comfortable with. But the single finger technique has been incredibly useful for me. It's what came to me to do so that defining could be rapid. If you're thinking that you want to really work with clients and this is your future, this probably is the fastest way to do it with the right hand, the ring finger, and the left hand, the index finger. And you'll see as we progress, I'm going to show you how I'm getting numbers. So I'm thrilled that most of you know muscle testing, and then it's really refining it so that you can use it like a professional. Not just, doing an experiment on yourself, but that you're going to be able to read the people that you're working with. Sounds like a bunch of you are already doing some healing work on some level, so that's very wonderful and exciting. We have the advanced certification, which is the Quantum Health Activator. It's a year-long program. And in that program, you learn how to regenerate every single part of the body. And we go into much, much deeper levels. And you'll have to let me know as the class progresses if you think that you might want to be part of an online year-long program, or you might want to join the in-person program, which we'll talk about later. Yeah, but it is a possibility. And the program right now is a Ruby and Emerald, and it just goes, it's a year-long program. We start in January and we go through. That program right now is only available in its form the way it is right now, which is monthly live streams for 3 hours. You have once a month, you have a 3-hour class, and then you have a 7-day in-person class. So that's the way I'm teaching it right now. Okay, let's see here. More comments. Elizabeth, yes, the roses are beautiful. Yay. And Bill learned from you in November, started to work about a month ago. Okay, good. And that's probably, if you weren't doing it 5 times a day, that's fantastic, because it took about 3/4 of a year if you're kind of fiddling with it every once in a while. And I'm really happy to hear, though, that Bill, that it is working for you now. That's great. And it will. I mean, you just have to work out the kinks. Okay. I'll wait another minute or so if anyone has questions on muscle testing. We'll cover that now, and then the next thing we'll go into is the quantum pump. And what's really super cool is we'll be in our next section, we'll be going into starting to work with like the field of amplification and soul contracts and curses and things like that. That's what today is dedicated to. So you'll have a really good handle on what's happening with the stuff in amplification, perception, and emotions. We're going to go through one by one. We're going to really talk about these things in the next section, the before lunch section, which is another hour and a half. And then in the afternoon class, we'll actually be doing a few hours of clearing, so that'll be really wonderful. Okay, see more comments coming in. Did I tell you I love you yet? I love you. I really do love you. Thank you for being here. Okay, more comments. Just from Jyoti, yeah. Yes, sounds absolutely amazing to learn to regenerate everything online. Would make it so much more possible for me as I have a full-time practice. Thank you for considering doing it. Well, and what's in my mind is to do the live training so people would fly in who could, because all of the 2-week-long classes for the Emerald and Ruby are at my house, and that maybe we do some kind of a live stream component, whether we had somebody in with a video camera or we had this set up so that there'd be actually live students, and we'd include people who couldn't fly in, so they would also be, you know, part of the training. So that's what's in my mind, and maybe that will work. We'll see. Okay. I'd love to, Elizabeth. Okay, great. Okay, so I think that I'm not getting any more questions on muscle testing, so let's go on to the quantum. Oh, good, and Deb too, me too. Okay, so we're going to go on to the quantum pump, and I'm guessing that all of you have participated on some level in some live class with me before signing up for this, but maybe not. So let's go ahead and show you the quantum pump. Online, it's wonderful. Great. Sounds like we're going to have a training online for everybody next year to go through the Ruby Emerald class. That would be fantastic. Okay. You know, I thought that too. I thought, thank God for live streaming. It's allowing me not to travel as much. And I traveled, so we're pumping now. Just everybody pump for a while. We're just going to pump the quantum field. And you're welcome to keep making comments in the chat box. I traveled a few years ago. I was traveling all the time and literally up to 6 flights a month. And when I'd fly in, like, to St. Louis, they'd book me all day with people to see one after another. Every hour was booked from 8 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night with no lunch break. So I'd actually eat a peanut butter sandwich and drink a bottle of water while I was working on somebody at lunchtime, and I'd just work through. And then they'd pick me up at 6:30 and take me to an event or a home to speak. And then I'd be there till midnight, and I'd start in the next morning, and I'd be so tired. So the intention for me, and I really prayed about it, was that I could have a global reach without having to be in an airplane, you know, 70% of the month, or, you know, like flying here and there and at hotels and things like that. And live streaming has, I mean, we're really trendsetters. I think we're using this like no one else is using it, and nobody else is really spending hours online teaching yet. It will be the wave of the future, and we're just like looking at it going, can we bend and stretch the boundaries of this technology and really make it work for us? So in the fall, there'll be classes every Tuesday and Thursday, the entire fall all the way up until Christmas. So we have all kinds of different trainings coming up, all kinds of new classes coming up. So for those of you that might not be ready yet or want to jump into classes before the Ruby level starts in January, we've got a really, really nice lineup of trainings, all and a bunch of new ones. So we've got some of the repeat ones that are the goodies, and then we've got a bunch of new ones coming up too. So yay for live streaming, and I saw it as my answer to prayer. And yes, occasionally there's some tech glitches, but hey, look at we're a global community right here. It's fantastic. Bend and stretch technology, exactly. And I find the one thing that I've noticed is, I've been praying about this too, but the people that I've been having in the recent trainings are very different than in the early trainings. People are very patient and understand that we're changing the world and we're using technology, and sometimes spiritual parasites and bugaboos can get into the technology. And we just are just so committed to getting this information out. So we have the phone line, and we have the live stream, and we have the chat box, and, you know, we're going to get it to you. And it might not be perfect. Like I said, something will break down inevitably, because this is all really new. I mean, if you think about it, Webinar Jam has, like, been around for a year. The Google Hangouts have been around for about a year. Live streaming really became possible really in the last maybe year and a half. Before that, you'd have to bring in a camera crew and a production team, and you didn't have the chat box going on. You might have a chat box in a Facebook page or something, but you didn't have it all together. And at this point, I do have a production team, but they're in Toronto, you know, so they run the back end part of the equipment, and I plug in and turn the stuff on, and here we go. So we don't have to have, like, the film team and the lighting and the camera crew and the makeup and all of that stuff. So it's fantastic. It really is. Okay, and we're pumping. I have, yes. Okay, I did change my hand movement. So when I work with a group, I go to a different pump. So you're going to do this pump. And I'm working with a group, and, you know, I'm a teacher, so we've got 20-plus students in the group. I'm going to clear energy in a different way for you, and this is a group movement. So I'm doing a group movement, which is a type of this, but it's speeding up, it's amplifying the shifting in the field, and it looks like this. And I wouldn't recommend this yet for you guys. I will teach you how to do this during the week, and good noticing. You're observing things. So you're going to do this, and you're going to notice that I pretty rapidly, after I get you started, I'm going to drop into something where I'm working with all 20 of you, and it looks like there's some family members that are hanging out around you, so it feels like I'm working with more like 15 people. So we're going to make a nice change for everybody who's in the class. Anyway. Okay. So this is the quantum pump. And let's go through a little bit of what quantum is. And what I've discovered is that most people don't actually know what quantum is or means. So there are two kinds of physics. There's the Newtonian physics, which is the kind of relativity. Apple falls from the tree and lands on the ground. That's Newtonian. So the physics of gravity and things dropping and falling and things are physical and real. And then there's quantum physics. And I think that both of these are equally respected, maybe because we can understand the Newtonian physics, the relativity. We understand that an apple drops and it goes, the gravity thing, we understand that because we can see it. Quantum physics is the concept that we are all particles vibrating. You think about all those particles vibrating, and we all are part of a greater field. And when you think about the concepts that are taught in Scripture, you know, we are part of a divine community. So we're all part of this beautiful field. And probably many of you have had the experience of, you know, how do I put it into words? So becoming one with everything. So where the universe, where the physical reality falls away and you become one with everything. Some of you have had that experience. I know I have. And that one with everything is being more aware of not what's physical, but what's part of the field. And this is almost like the earth drops away and reality drops away, and now you're one with everything. It's a very blissful experience, very joyful. So we have both of those. What we're working with is we're working with the quantum field and the pump, which allows us to rearrange the way the particles are vibrating. So we can clear things. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be clearing soul contracts and curses and all kinds of stuff. We'll be learning about that. And we can regenerate stuff or generate stuff, new stuff. So growing new cells, new glands, new organs, new systems. We can do that by using the quantum pump and by accessing the quantum field. So essentially what we're doing, instead of healing, I want you to be thinking about this particular technique as activating. We're activating the field. We're activating your health. We're not going in and kind of directing energy to something and trying to fix it. We're rearranging the particles so that it aligns in a more healthy, vibrant way. Or we're clearing away programs so that they no longer impress upon you something negative. Okay, I've seen some comments come in. Let's see. So, Alex, you're asking if we can put them into MP3s. We do automatically now, they go into YouTube. And one of the things we can do, because we are recording the audios, is we could have the audios available. So that might be something that we could do. I'll check with my team. I don't think it's too big of a problem to actually have the audios available too. So I think that we can do that. I'll check. But in the past, before live streaming, I did do teleconferences, and we would have those available. I think we just send them to the sound guy, and he turns them into an MP3. So I'll check. And we typically have all of our classes also transcribed, so you can read the classes too. Now, they're not perfectly, you know, the transcription guy doesn't make it like a book, so you're actually hearing me, you're reading me talking like I'm talking to you personally right now. Okay. Can we use the quantum pump on ourselves, or is it too much? It's definitely use it on yourself. Yeah, Renee, use it on yourself. Elizabeth, my neighbors are getting a bonus. I agree. That's probably true. Christelle, and great, and thank you for explaining. Was going to ask about the quantum and what it means and how you define it in study and practice. Good. Great. Okay, so it does look like this would be amazing. You would become the angel voice of my head. Okay, my dears. By the way, if you didn't know, I have an app out, the Q5, and there's 64 meditations in there that are 5 minutes long. So you can get that on your smartphone. So you want to get your app. And I have over 150 meditations out at this point. So I have a lot of people listening around the clock to the trainings and the meditations. We do audio. So, yeah, and it's exciting to record the diamond level. Okay, we have another 25 minutes before we take our next break. And what I'd like to go through with you now is a little bit about the human blueprint. So we've talked a little bit about quantum and how we're using the quantum field to rearrange the particles, and that we're doing an activation rather than a healing. We do sometimes in my business, in my career, we use the word healing because that's what people understand. But we've been kind of advised to use some of the words that people get because people are just learning. We're introducing activation. So eventually we won't be having quantum healing secrets. We'll be doing quantum health activation secrets or something. But now we do use the word healing, but we aren't actually doing healings. We're actually activating health. Okay, so that clarifies that. And you'll be a health activator. All right, so the next thing is to talk a little bit about the human blueprint. And how I started gaining access to the blueprint was in my garden. And for many years I was really sick and had many surgeries, died a few times, was in the hospital. I don't know if you know this, but I was in the hospital 2.5 years of my life. Really, the doctors just didn't see how I could live. I was exposed to the atomic bomb. I had thyroid cancer, follicular thyroid cancer with papillary tendencies. And then I had cervical cancer and many other issues. I had 2 brain injuries, which were both car accident related. One, I was driving a car and my car was totaled. And the second, I was walking and I was run over by a car. And so those traumatic brain injuries really affected me also. And you know what? I'm going to say that everything works for good in our life. And I needed and set up a life with a lot of trauma so that I could bring you, I could deliver this information to you so completely and thoroughly. And, you know, I know one of you asked me, can I use it on myself? And I want you to use it on yourself. This is how I started developing the entire process. Was I went into my garden in prayer and meditation, said, can't take it anymore. God, take me or make me well. And it was at that defining moment, that moment when, not going to do this anymore. I was promised the Garden of Eden. I'm living in hell on earth. And enough's enough. And, you know, it's so interesting because you know how you have this sense that you're meant for something greater. Well, I've always walked with Jesus. I was born autistic. I didn't speak until I was 5. Jesus and Mary, however, and the saints, they were all around me, especially Jesus. he'd hold my hand, and I remember walking at Valley Peace Lutheran Church. I was walking around behind the church with Jesus, and he was holding my hand, and he was telling me how they would always be there for me, and even if things were hard, I could always call on him to help me. So this is me as a little girl who's not speaking, and I'm having this mind-to-mind conversation with Jesus, who's holding my hand. And later in my life, before my garden experience, they did multiple surgeries on the cancer in my throat. And the first surgery, they damaged my vocal cords. They paralyzed them. And I'm a singer. I defined myself as a singer. And to have the vocal cords paralyzed meant I was no longer a singer. And so where I would sing solos in my church every Sunday morning and sing with the choir, I no longer could sing. And I went 3 years without song. And it was really, really a hardship on me. It was just unbearable to not be able to sing when you're a singer. And in the Basilica of St. Mary's, in prayer and meditation, I knelt and prayed to Mary. And she was right there, and I was praying. I was really just wanting to get over the struggle and suffering. Late 20s, I would say. I was in my late 20s, and my vocal cords were paralyzed when I was 24. And in prayer and meditation, this was actually, by the way, the time where people were making the pilgrimages to Yugoslavia. And she told me to sing. So there I am, kneeling at the altar in the Basilica of St. Mary's. And there's very few people in the cathedral because it's really off hours, odd hours that I was in the church, like in the middle of the day. And I said, Mary, no, I can't sing. I can't sing. My voice is gone. I can't sing anymore. And she said, just sing. Just trust me. And so I sang Ave, one of the Latin pieces I knew. And I didn't think I could sing, but all of a sudden my voice was like an angel's voice. And Mary was about 12 feet in front of me, and she was smiling at me, and I was singing. And she had me continue, she said, to continue to sing. And there was an angel chorus that was filling the cathedral, which was so amazing. And they weren't singing any particular words. They were just, oh, you know, really beautiful. But if you can think of like 1,000 voices in a cathedral, that's what it sounded like. Well, the cathedral people came in, like the priest and the woman who, apparently locks up the church, the cathedral, whatever. They looked terrified because there was this, you know, sound and I was singing. And but they were hearing angel voices too, and they were scared. I was like, what in the world? So the one priest said to me, you know, something goofy like, Mary doesn't live here. He said, are you seeing Mary? And he's, you know, like, what institution have you escaped from? I'm in the Basilica of St. Mary's, and he doesn't think that Mary should be there. And I told him, no, Mary's right here. She's right here. She's right there. And so anyway, I had this experience, this beautiful experience of my voice being restored. And it's a sweet voice. It's not the same voice I had before my vocal cords were paralyzed. But I want to tell you that everything negative that's ever happened to you works for good somehow. And so understand that there is a tremendous opportunity for love and expansion of love and understanding and compassion when we have hardship. And then we have a transformation. Sometimes things transform, and sometimes we use it to inspire others. So I'd always had this feeling like I was loved and cared for, and that I was meant to be here and do something important because I had the grace and the presence of Mary and Jesus with me, helping me. And so in my garden in prayer and meditation, I said, I can't take this anymore. God, take me or make me well. And I started in that very day observing the stem cells, the master cells, going to their perfected God state. And that was so incredible to really understand that that our cells are divine, and then to really have the experience of the body healing and of the cells regenerating. It was really spectacular. And the human blueprint itself, I began to understand and was able to define parts of it, and over time was able to define the overall design of the human blueprint. So in the human blueprint, we have perception, essence, matter, energy, and realms. And the realms are the realm of genesis, embodiment, quantum, and amplification. So let's go through those. Perception, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So before spirit, before anything else existed, there were moving thoughts, and those thoughts were becoming something, were becoming parts of us and part of God. So even before we were spirit, we were thoughts moving in the universe. Perception is the collection of thoughts that influence us and help us to interact. Now, we clear negative things in perception, but there are wonderful, wonderful things in perception. Perhaps you might think of perception as thought forms. You might also think of it a little bit like, maybe like ego a little bit, but it would be things that, thoughts that influence you. And we're going to go into much more detail on perception and amplification in the next section. So we'll get into that a little deeper. So perception is the word or thought forms. And rather than perception coming from us, perception is influencing us. So it's a slightly different use of the word perception than the dictionary uses. But it allows us to have our perception because it's the thought forms that are influencing us. And so from perception, the next thing we have is essence, or our essential nature. Our essential nature is spirit, soul, and life force. It includes the high self, because the spirit that's in the body is part of the high self. But we can't take all the information from lifetime to lifetime into one body. We're coming here to learn specific things in this incarnation. And so our high self has much of our information and will help direct us. So we have spirit. Spirit is the light and information that is us. Soul, if you think about soul, you think about the outer part of spirit. It's like the skin of the spirit in a way. It's a protective chalice. There's a beautiful story, a mystical story in Gnosticism. And Mother Sophia gives her life to the depths of matter, meaning there was a time when we had the ability to be embodied. We were spirit embodied, but we had no protection for the spirit, and we were losing our light. The light was going out, and so it was going down, 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 down. And Mother Sophia saw we were no longer 100%, we were like at 20%. We were dangerously dim, dangerously in danger of just the light going out completely. And so Mother Sophia gave her life to the depths of matter. She became the chalice, the living chalice of spirit. And it's such a beautiful image of Mother Sophia breaking herself into millions of pieces and surrounding each spirit, giving a soul or a protective chalice to the spirit so that we would no longer lose our light. We would stay bright. And we'd be able to live in a body and be that bright expression of self. So I love that mystical description, but understand there'd be spirit, and then something was added to the blueprint of spirit, which was soul. When we could see that there was a problem that we weren't going to be able to maintain our light, soul was added. Now, how spirit informs body is that spirit then, is informing body with energy. And you'll feel energized. When you're sleeping, your body is just completely relaxed. And when your spirit comes back in your body, you have energy. You want to get up and move, right? And then we look at how strong life force is. And so when I work with people, a lot of times their life force is kind of low because they've been struggling with health issues. Life force will go down when someone is sick, meaning it allows you to leave the body easily. So if your life force goes to zero, you're no longer attached to a body that's sick or dying or dead, you know? So your life goes to zero, that means that your life is done. And then you leave. Simultaneously, the soul goes up and down also with life force. So it seems to be that they kind of move back and forth together. So if you're getting ready to leave, your soul protection, so if you tested life force, mine stays at 100% now, but let's see, I'll test overall group. So everybody in the class, life force, overall in the class, for the overall class, it's at 50% life force. And then overall for the class for soul, is 62%. So a few of you have a little bit higher on soul than life force, but they tend to go kind of hand in hand up and down. So that is essence or our essential nature. And then we have matter, which is the physical body. And from the physical body, all the cells, the glands, the organs, everything that makes us up physically. And I always used to talk about the body as the cellular body. And it's a funny thing, because if you talk about just the cellular body, you miss out on like the fluid and the ligaments and things that aren't actually composed of cells. So now we talk about the body as matter, or the physical body, the physicality of us. We talk about everything that makes up the physical body. And then from matter, we go to energy. And the energy body is actually developed out of the DNA. So your DNA has directions on how to form an energy body. So that's really interesting, right? So we don't really have an energy body as we're percolating in our mother's womb. Within a few days after our birth, we're sharing our energy body with our mother. And a few days after birth, you know, a little bud, a chakra bud, shows up, and, you know, a little bit of an aura shows up. But we're really sharing our energy body with our mother. And over 7 years, we, the physical DNA, informs the body to grow its energy body, which is the chakras, the meridians, the nadis, the halo, your human access portal, everything. Develops and fills in over the first 7 years. And you'll notice something, when children are 5 and 6, they still have that kind of baby face. And then all of a sudden, when they get to be 7, they look like little adults. There's something that's changed. It's palpable. It's different. And you can know that that is a sign that the energy body has completed its maturity. So that child is now reflecting that it has a mature energy body, that it is actually independent of its mother for needing to access some of her energy body. Okay? And then the realms, so it's PEMER, perception, essence, matter, energy, and realms. And the realms, the realm of Genesis is the realm of really being able to, out of nothing, new life. So where would a baby come from? An egg and a sperm get together, and all of a sudden there are cells multiplying and dividing those master cells, and then becoming a blastocyst, and then becoming a fetus, and, you know, really developing into a baby. So that's Genesis. But Genesis also works when an organ has been removed. Later in the week, when we're doing regeneration, you're going to see an interview with Carolyn Stevens. It's a 19-minute interview. And actually, at that point, we had really brought her back from the dead. She had her colon surgically removed. And a year later, year and a half later, we grew back her colon. So got rid of, surgically removed the colostomy bag and all the mechanisms that were put into her to have, you know, the exterior place for her bowel to go, her bowel movement to go. And she lives a normal life. We grew back her colon. And you'll be learning that technique of how to generate out of nothing, Genesis, out of nothing, grow back something, like missing cells. Also, Holly Hill, you'll be seeing a video on Holly on the same day, and she had an adrenal fail. So adrenals, when they fail, they go to like raisin size, and they're supposed to be like plum size, bigger. And we were able to, over a four-month period, grow her raisin-sized adrenal back to a full-size adrenal fully functioning, and that was medically documented. So both of those are medically documented. We got some some little video testimonials you'll see, or interviews, whatever, that you'll see about them talking about what their experience was. So that's Genesis. And then embodiment, the ability to be embodied and to have a spirit in a body. And one of the things that you want to know is that for every 100 spirits, human spirits that are out there, one gets a body, and there are 100 that don't get a body, and they function on the astral. It's not a given that you're going to get a body and get to live on planet Earth. And from my research, I have seen at least 3 planets where humans go between. One that's much darker than ours. We're a kind of a transition planet, and then there's a blue planet, which is much lighter than ours and really much more peaceful. So we have like 3 different planetary realms that human spirits inhabit. And there may be more. That's from my research, and that isn't my main research. So there may be other opportunities for humans. But understand that we have life in and out of body, that we're not required to have a body to live, that having a body is an incredible privilege and an opportunity. And so if you all have bodies, so it's like you are the winners. You know, you won, you got the body. Sometimes with group mind, we think that having a body is really a hardship and we want to go to heaven. And then when you get to that, you're like, oh, my God, there's incredible opportunities in body that I really want to experience. I want to go back. So understand that that is the dynamic that we're dealing with in the realm of embodiment. Now, the challenging part of the realm of embodiment comes along because this body is not limited to one spirit. So embodiment is the ability of a spirit to inhabit a body. But there isn't a limitation on how many spirits can inhabit the body. Thus, we do things like the Freedom from Spiritual Parasites and Pests class to help you really be able to maintain and own your body, individuated yourself. And the reason that that mechanism wasn't tightened up, but there wasn't something that was tighter where only one spirit could inhabit a body, is we wouldn't be able to repopulate. And so, you know, understanding that moms might have twins or triplets or a single child, at that point you're 2 people or 3 people or 4 people sharing a body. And then the haywire part of that is like the evil spirits and ghosts and demons and transmortals and aliens and whatever who jump in the body too. And that's things that we don't want in the body. And I think one of the things that I'm so interested in doing is really educating humanity on how to maintain ownership of the body, and that it's important. And so right now they look like parasites and pests, but ultimately we can, with contemplation, prayer, and meditation, really maintain our bodies once they're clear and cleaned up. And sometimes it takes months or a year or 2 years to really own control, so we can get you to zero, which we're going to do in this training. And then you're going to need to, every day, clean yourself out and really create a new way of living and being for yourself. So nothing is perfect. The game on the planet is a lot of spiritual parasites, and we're working on that 5 million minds to transform that reality so group mind is in agreement that we are no longer in agreement to inhabit these things. And part of the problem is that there's a tremendous group mind around maybe what I call atheist energy, just not wanting to acknowledge or believe on some level or talk about the fact that this stuff exists. And so, you know, there's a lot of denial. Denial. But as we, as spiritual beings, as health beings, as people who are very proactive, can see that as we clear this stuff, we get healthier and happier and enjoy our lives more, we'll be able to share this with people in mainstream. And I've tried very hard to be mainstream as much as I can. But some of the stuff I talk about, people say, well, it's very esoteric. And I said, well, actually, it's just the truth. I mean, it's not esoteric. I mean, if you've got bugaboos on the planet bugging your body, you want to just identify them. And Western medicine has identified a whole bunch of stuff. Eastern medicine has identified a lot of stuff, so we just have to finish identifying the stuff and just call a spade and not pussyfoot around and, you know, not tell the truth. So just tell the truth and then we can address it. I mean, if you're afraid to talk about, you know, some demons, I mean, scriptures are addressed it. It's, you know, Jesus cast out demons and other things. Maybe they didn't give it all kinds of different names. It's there, so we might as well just call a spade and get on with things, is what I say. Okay, so that's embodiment. And then we have quantum, which we're doing a lot of work with the quantum field today, and for the rest of your life, you're going to be working with the quantum field. So that allows us to create and to destroy, to create new life and new circumstances, and to destroy or clear that which no longer serves us. So that's quantum. And then amplification, and we'll be going into amplification in our next section. So this is a really ideal time to take a break. I've been talking a lot. So we're going to take, this is our mid-morning break. We're going to take a 20-minute break, get up and move around. Let's see, no real assignment for this break because just kind of inundated you with a lot of information. Let me quickly check to see if anything needs to be responded to before we go on the break. Okay. I think we'll earmark this. And we'll address comments when we come back. I am very much ready for a quick break on my chatty voice. I think I'll have a Ricola. And then we'll come back in 20 minutes, and we'll be going into talking about amplification and starting to work with those pieces of information about soul contracts and curses and demonic evil spirit curses and that kind of stuff. So we'll go into that in our next section. Okay, you guys, have a nice break, and I'll see you in a little bit.